Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Missing Link for SLPs podcast. I'm Maddie, your host, speaker, and very passionate speech-language pathology advocate. If you are new to the field of speech pathology or just want to stay fresh, this podcast is for you. Here, I will share with you my wisdom and experience of more than 23,000 hours of one-on-one skilled intervention working around the world as an in-the-trenches medical SLP and now as an assistant professor for an accredited CSD program. I want to help you see the big picture of what you're doing and connect those small dots of what you know and how to apply it in your practice, those missing links, helping you be the best, most confident, and most effective SLP you can be. There's no better time than now to freshen up. You totally got this. Good morning, and welcome to episode 9, Combating Stress, Anxiety, and Decreased Motivation in Your Job. One of the best things about being the podcast host is I get to change the topics around when I feel the need to. And I've had people ask me this week quite a bit, Maddie, how do you handle the stress and anxiety with your job? And when I was at the hospital this week, I noticed myself that I just was not as motivated. So I've moved some of the topics around a little bit, and I've shifted this one forward because I really want to talk about how to manage stress, anxiety, and decreased motivation in our job as SLPs. It's a tricky, tricky thing. It's tricky because on the outside, it looks like we're coasting into COVID-19 and we're going to do what we need to do to get through it. And the big things are expected to take a toll on us, and we're prepared for those. But it's these smaller little things that are harder to deal with. Like so many of you, my hours have changed. When I first stepped into being a professor, I had left a career of 27 years in the hospital setting. Because being a professor is a 9-month commitment, I decided to stay on casual at the hospital because I love what I do. Things were going great. Things are going great. I've loved being a professor, and I loved working the one day a week at the hospital. It kept feeding my passion for what I do. Then COVID-19 hit, and my semester ended in teaching. And I found myself, like many hours, with a change in hours. And when I went back to the hospital setting to pick up the busier days, because they would stack the patients for me, I found that I was lacking in motivation and I had a lot more stress and anxiety. So that's what I want to talk about, are real in the trenches ways to handle stress, anxiety, and decreased motivation for speech pathologists, especially those in the medical setting. So today is going to be a frank and authentic talk on how I handle these difficulties or changes. Some of the professor questions I get from my students are, "Hey, professor, how do I handle my stress and anxiety? How do I stay motivated? How do I find the help if I need it? And how do I know if I even need help?" So that's what we're going to talk about today. Stress, anxiety, and decreased motivation are all symptoms of a challenged mental health system. Red flags that say that your inner psyche is under attack. Some stress and anxiety are normal, and obviously decreased motivation is normal at times. So let's start this very real conversation. Oftentimes, people confuse or lump stress and anxiety together. The difference between stress and anxiety is that stress is a response to a threat in a situation, and anxiety is a reaction to that stress. So in short, stress is your body's reaction to a trigger and is generally a short-term experience. Stress is a response to any threat in that situation. But anxiety, on the other hand, can develop into a sustained mental health disorder that is triggered by stress. So in other words, you don't have anxiety without stress, but you can have stress without anxiety. That is why self-cares are so important, because everybody has stress. If you don't address the stress, it then turns into anxiety. So let's talk a little bit about stress. Stress is the normal response that our bodies have
to change. The changes can be positive or negative, and they're along a continuum. Depending on the amount of control we feel we have this fight or flight response. If we feel that we can handle the situation, we fight. If we feel we can't handle the situation, then we fly. That's the fight or flight. But when our body is under extreme stress or continuous chronic stress, it releases something called cortisol. And cortisol is very harmful to the body. So how do you know if you're under stress? Some signs of stress are you fly off the handle easily, you're tired all the time, general aches and pains, you can't sit still, nerves are on an edge. Some of the symptoms are you can't sleep, you have a lack of appetite, or you can't stop eating, you have chocolate cravings, upset stomach, mild chest pain. The effects of stress, you become more confused, just like a brain fog. You cry unnecessarily, maybe in your car. You have sudden anger that is unusual, erratic decisions, nothing seems to be going right, and a sense of loneliness. This are some stress reactions. So here are some stress ways to combat stress. First, be prepared to be flexible and let go of some of the control, especially during COVID-19. There are things we cannot control, like our caseloads. How heavy are our caseloads? How light are our caseloads? Be prepared to not have answers. I know when scheduling at the hospital, it's all up in the air on who's coming back when and who's going to do what. Be prepared for your day at the hospital for things to maybe not go so well. Maybe you don't have all of the PPE readily accessible. Maybe you aren't able to do a video swallow study as you normally would do in pre-COVID days. Maybe you're not able to talk to the caregiver. Be prepared for things to not go well. And set up a contingency plan. In fact, set up two or three contingency plans. So plan A is this. If it doesn't go well, go to plan B, plan C. Another task, another strategy is to simplify, simplify, simplify. We are simply operating under different times, and we have to adjust to those. So to expect our days and our flow and our demands to be as they were pre-COVID simply is not realistic at this point in time. So let go of some of that control. And by letting go of some of that control, you will let go of some of that stress. There is a very dedicated podcast called SLP Stress Management by Jessie Andrix, who's a speech pathologist. And she really does a very good job of addressing some of ways that SLPs can decrease stress. So I would encourage you to go search her out as a resource. So remember at the beginning, I identified a difference between stress and anxiety. So anxiety is a reaction to the stress. So we just talked about ways to decrease stress, and these are ways now to decrease your anxiety. First, identify your triggers. There are triggers that are going to increase your anxiety. Try to trigger those. Once you've identified those triggers, use some strategies to de-escalate your anxiety, such as taking a break, walking away from a situation, reframing a situation, venting to a colleague or another appropriate person. And my favorite, take a walk. Start some physical activity, because once you get just blood and energy flowing through your body, it tends to decrease those cortisol levels. Another way to combat anxiety is to meditate. And a final way is if you really do feel you have a problem with anxiety, or you notice that it is infringing on the rest of your life or your workplace, then go find additional help as needed. Reach out to your doctor, reach out to somebody. It's very important in the long run to manage your stress and anxiety for yourself, for your family, for your career. So the authentic part of this conversation is I have had times in my life where I've been super stressed and I just shove things down. I shove feelings down and pretty soon they go away, right? Or so I thought. When you shove feelings down and when you bury them, they don't go away. They just sit and fester or need to be addressed another day. Person to person, speech pathologist, address these issues because they don't go away. If you need the help during COVID-19, go find the help. I'm so grateful to somebody who asked me this question via an email, and this is why I've dropped it up to the front of the podcast. I really want to have these authentic conversations and encourage you guys to find ways to decrease your stress, identify your anxiety triggers, and de-escalate yourself. Because when you handle all of the inner turmoil that's going on, you just have a healthier, better, happier life and a happier, healthier career as well. So I mentioned before that when I went back to the hospital, that I was surprised that I wasn't as motivated as I usually am. Normally on a hospital day, I wake up in the morning by 5:30. I'm out the door by 6 o'clock and I arrive at my hospital just like a box of birds ready to go. I seriously love what I do. And I started my day this last week and I just was not motivated. I had larger gaps in my schedule and I found myself having a harder time working my way through a report from the very beginning to the very end. I found I had to take breaks and I leaned over to a colleague and I said, "Are you having trouble being motivated as well? What's going on?" And it started a whole department discussion about how everybody is feeling not as motivated. And I think first we need to recognize this is a very real fallout emotion from going through COVID. Regardless, we want to be motivated at work. So here are some ways to increase your motivation. First, try to ask yourself some positive questions. Put things in a positive frame of mind. The second thing, do something to get yourself rolling. If you have just finished a big evaluation, you just got to jump in with both feet and start it. Third, work on a timer. I love, love, love my timers because they are what get me rolling and they are what keep me on task. I always set my timers for 30 minutes, always, 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 because a task can be completed in 30 minutes or you set it for another 30 minutes. It's just a little thing that works for me. I set my timer for 30 minutes. The fourth way to increase your motivation, provide yourself with breaks and little treats. I know for me, I have eaten more during COVID-19. I thought, oh, this is great. I can be on that diet that I've always wanted to be on. But I find myself stress eating. So I have purposefully gone to the store and found little, very healthy snacks. And I put them in little snack baggies. So when I need a treat to reward myself with a treat, I go grab a snack-sized bag of wasabi peas or a bag of the Skinny Pop popcorn or something. I'm a muncher. And I know that if I munch, that takes away some of my stress and anxiety, which we just talked about. Number five, use peer pressure to your advantage. If you're working with a group of people, communicate with them and say, "Hey, Kate, I'm almost done with this evaluation. I've got a little more to go. Will you make sure that I sit here until it's done?" And help one another through. And number six, no matter what, just keep on rolling. Keep on pushing. You can make it through one teletherapy session at a time. You can make it through one evaluation at a time. It's hard. These times have changed our stress, anxiety, and motivation. It's very true. But what also is very true is that each and every one of us have within ourselves the ability to find the resources and to implement strategies that will help us manage the things that we're having difficulty with. The very fact that you're listening to this podcast means that you're out there looking. And for that, I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I'm not in this alone. I'm grateful we are all in this together. So here's the challenge of the week. Stress does make you more sick. It destroys your peace, your hopes, your dreams. So address your stresses, address your anxiety, and your challenge is to not bury them, but deal with them head on. You're brave. You can do this. Quote of the week, the greatest weapon against stress is our ability to choose one thought over another. So if you have a negative thought, if you have something that's triggered you, learn ways to create those neuroplasticity pathways and change your thoughts. Tips for success. Doesn't matter whether you're a graduate student or a seasoned clinician, your tip for success is be strong and find help when you need it. There is no shame. Talk to your medical provider, find a counselor, help yourself. This is all about you. If you have significant stress, anxiety, motivation problems, your tip for success is meet those problems head on.
I hope today's conversation has created some aha moments for you and motivated you to become a better SLP. Continuing to connect some of those missing links between what you know and how to use that knowledge. Thank you for downloading the Missing Link for SLP's podcast. And if you enjoyed the show, I'd love you to subscribe, rate it, and leave a short review. Also, please share an episode with a friend. Together, we can raise awareness and help more SLPs find and connect those missing links and get the information needed to help them feel confident in their patient care every step of the way. Follow me on Instagram and join the Fresh SLP community on Facebook. Show notes are always available, so come learn more at freshslp.com. Let's make those connections. You got this.